Hi, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Home Practice with Hallie. I'm your host, Hallie Miraglada, here with the mission to make the tools of yoga more accessible to all bodies, no matter where in the world you make your home. Thanks for joining me. Although many of my episodes are instructional and practical tips for creating a yoga practice at home, I also like to feature guests who are innovating the way things are done in the yoga world. In today's episode, I am super proud to introduce Lade Akande. Lade, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
So I'm very happy to have you here today because you do so much very intersectional work as a yoga teacher, but also a counselor and also a researcher into the effects of wellness on teens. Can you start just by sharing a little bit about yourself, who you are, and what brought you to the work you do now?
Sure. Well, my name is Lade, and I am an educator. I've been serving as a college counselor for the last 6 years and have been in the field of education for the last 12. For the past 6 years, I've been a yoga teacher. And prior to that, I was a college athlete. So that is what eventually brought me to my yoga mat after graduating from college and dealing with the physical ailments of pushing my body beyond its limits for so long. I made my way to the yoga mat and a lot took off from there. And so I have spent the majority of my time merging my love for education and working with youth and my passion for sharing yoga and wellness practices in my community.
And you do a lot in your community. I know we kind of met through your work as a Manduka ambassador, your work with the indie yoga movement, and you do amazing wellness programs and yoga programs for teenagers. Can you talk a little bit more about those programs specifically?
Sure. The yoga started about 5 years ago at my high school that I am still currently working at. So it started with a project called Year of Service. And this is when groups of students got to choose an organization or a mission that resonated with them. And this is when I was able to introduce Indie Yoga Movement to my school. Indie Yoga Movement is a nonprofit organization that brings yoga into Indianapolis area schools. And so the Year of Service focused on learning more about the practice of yoga, the benefits of yoga for students in schools particularly, and allowed students to explore that more deeply and also travel to their peer institutions and share yoga with other teens. From there, that evolved to a 3-week alternative course between semesters called January Term. Mm-hmm. And this January term was called Yoga Mind-Body Connection. So we spent 2 weeks diving deeper into the history of yoga, reading books like The Four Agreements, building connection amongst each other, and then traveling to Costa Rica, which is kind of like one of the Western meccas of yoga. And there was so much positive feedback from those two opportunities that eventually led to a yoga PE class. Mm-hmm. And I just finished teaching my 6th semester of advanced physical education, yoga, and mindfulness, where teens begin every morning with 50 minutes of yoga and exploring a variety of different mindfulness and wellness topics.
Wow, that's amazing. And I know that you know, and I know that yoga has so much effect on our lives. Do you think there are particular benefits to teens having this practice when they're so much younger?
Absolutely. One of the most common things that I hear from people when they learn about just my work and the mission of sharing yoga with teens is, man, I wish I would have had yoga when I was younger. It would have been so helpful and maybe, change the game, change the trajectory of my life. And yeah, really, it's about just providing tools and empowerment tools students to kind of become the masters of their own emotional regulation. And we see stress is at an all-time high, especially with teens. As a college counselor, the stakes are higher, standardized tests, the cost of tuition for higher education, the advanced placement classes. There's so much that students are piling on, and the expectations continue to grow for this population. And yet, nobody's really talking to them about how to effectively manage their health and their wellness. And to many of them, this is just a complete foreign topic. So I have seen just a huge growing interest in teens wanting to explore this further, and the buy-in is totally there. And it's been really amazing to see this idea of wellness, education, social emotional learning now starting to permeate the field of education.
And you're really
And
contributing to that as well. You are a researcher with Butler University, is that correct?
yeah, so I graduated with my bachelor's and master's degree from Butler University, and recently have partnered with one of my former professors in the College of Education in developing some survey tools to hopefully measure the impact of yoga on students in schools.
Is there other research on the effects of wellness in teens specifically happening right now? Are you collaborating with any other, researchers or universities, or did you kind of originate this project?
So when I started to look at what was out there, what I found was that there are many smaller independent assessments of the impact of yoga in teens and in schools. But to my knowledge, there's yet to be a wide-scale, validated research tool to measure the effects of yoga in schools. So that is my hope and goal in starting this journey. And I'm grateful to have the guidance of my former professor at Butler University to, create these validated survey tools so that this information can be publishable at some point.
And what is the implication of really having like publishable research? What do you think the effect could be on educational institutions as far as like curriculum? Is it more of a justification to include mindfulness curriculum in schools?
Yeah, I mean, data is really the key to being able to, convince and move the needle from the top down when it comes to implementing these types of programs and curriculum in schools, even as far as, affecting legislature to mandate this type of initiative in schools. So if you ask educators or really anybody, it's pretty, straightforward. Like, people know that yoga can is helpful, and they, you don't really have to convince them, but there hasn't been a study yet with validated survey tools that have been reviewed through the Institutional Review Board, and therefore the results and can be replicated or
That's really amazing, and I'm excited to see more of the results of your research. And so in addition to creating wellness programs and yoga programs in school, you are also working this summer with the Patachu Foundation, which I would love for you to share a little bit more about, because I think it really connects to this idea of yoga as part of a larger sense of wellness. Can you share about your summer work with the Patachu Foundation?
Yeah, I'd be happy to. So the Patachu Foundation is an organization in Indianapolis committed to fighting food injustice and providing access, equity, and opportunity through food. And they prepare healthy meals for children in schools and after school programs. And this program that I am partnering with them this summer is a paid internship for high school students to gain skills in farming, culinary, barista skills, while also weaving in themes of personal wellness and college and career readiness.
I love that so much. Can you tell me a little bit about like the day, like kind of what parts of the day are wellness or like what the culinary aspects look like?
Yeah, so twice a week, students are on the farm. They are either harvesting on the Public Greens farm. So Public Greens is a restaurant, a Patachu restaurant, and they're located on the Monon Trail in Broad Ripple. And across from the restaurant is a mature farm. It's about 6 years old. Farmer Kate has been tending to the farm, and that farm provides fresh local produce to the Patachu restaurants, as well as for the meals that the foundation sends out to schools and after school programs and other community partners. So twice a week, students are harvesting from the farm and also building a brand new farm from the ground up. So they're really learning just from the ground up how to build and sustain a farm. They have also started their own home gardens and have been listening to local gardeners, and as well as more nationally known gardeners like Ron Finley, who started, yeah, it sounds like you're familiar. I know.
Wow, that's really cool.
Yeah. And so really it's exposing these students to terms and ideas like food justice, food deserts, food apartheid, and having them think more deeply about the food they have access to in their own communities and how they can be leaders in their communities to making sure that fresh food and produce is accessible to all people.
That's a really cool way to kind of teach teens right away what norms they want to challenge about like access and kind of ownership over food sources. I just think that's amazing. That's a really beautiful work. What would you say are some of the norms or kind of structures within the yoga industry you feel like you are challenging with your work?
Oh, well, I think yoga, you know, for me has definitely evolved to more than just the physical practice and really comes down to, you know, the practices of non-harming, for instance, and empowering people to be able to regulate their emotions and to be able to respond to challenges and trauma that inevitably will arise throughout life. So I think it's, you know, just evolved a little bit beyond the studio, even though I still love to go to the yoga studio when we can. Yeah. Of course, now times are a little bit different. But yeah, just knowing that yoga can look so many different ways and be practiced in so many different ways by all kinds of people and all ages. And yeah, that's just the direction that my yoga has taken me these last several years.
And what are some of your favorite or most influential maybe teachers or trainings that you've gotten to experience on your yoga journey?
Well, I've been really, really impressed with the curriculum from Passion Yoga School. The physical location of Passion Yoga is in Limon, Costa Rica, and it was founded by a young woman, Adi Shakti, who is an Indianapolis native and founded her own yoga school in Costa Rica after doing her own training and studying in India. Is really committed to trauma-informed facilitation, to connecting your yoga to your soul's mission, to your purpose, your dharma. And she also has a team of highly esteemed teachers from, you know, experts of woman and womb wellness, Ayurveda, advanced asana, the history of yoga. So I just think it's a very complete offering of yoga, and it's just been a really amazing experience learning amongst other like-minded people who kind of are looking for a little bit more of a vulnerable experience to connect and go deeper within themselves while also staying true to the history and roots and cult paying homage to, you know, that aspect of yoga as well.
Can you share a little bit about what makes trauma-informed yoga perhaps different than like yoga? Or like, ideally all yoga is trauma informed, I guess, but I think when people hear that term, they might wonder like what is different. Do you have any insight into that understanding?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, typically when people hear trauma, immediately their mind might go to something, you know, like very severe, or maybe associate it with something like post-traumatic stress disorder, abuse, neglect. And yes, all of these definitely fall under that. However, trauma, the way that we understand it as facilitators through this training, is that trauma is the nervous system essentially just getting out of whack and not having the proper tools to integrate back. So when we think about trauma that way, we can kind of say, oh, wait, like everybody experiences trauma on a regular basis. And yeah, it can have varying degrees, but there are certain tools, there is certain language that we can just become more aware of, especially as facilitators and teachers, so that we are not unintentionally triggering that type of response in others, and we're able to safely and ethically share these tools and this wisdom with others so that they feel empowered to give that to themselves.
And what do you think as a facilitator are some of the most important things you can bring to the table to empower the students who are in the yoga space with you?
Well, I think, you know, providing a setting that is safe and accepting and modeling behavior and modeling vulnerability, just giving students an example of how, you know, letting your guard down and connecting with yourself, connecting with others can be a really powerful and healing practice, because especially for teens, well, really for anybody, that can be really scary. Usually people aren't like, yes, sign me up to, you know, let all my walls down.
And yeah. Let's dig right into it.
Yeah. Yeah. So I really just want to be, you know, a mentor and a model for that kind of conscious communication and show students that there is power in vulnerability and to empower them to show up as their whole self and know that their whole self is welcomed and loved and accepted.
And I know you had a retreat on the books for June or July of this year that got postponed due to COVID. And I know we talked prior about retreats and like those coming together experiences and how important that can really feel. How have you found, or maybe what have been your struggles with maintaining that sense of community in which that transformation can be really well held in this like COVID time?
Well, yeah, partner and myself, who were in similar work and have similar missions in education, we had planned a retreat for educators that was in June to explore these topics for themselves, and also so that they might be able to take it back and share with their communities, whether that is in a school or an organization, or maybe just in their own family and communities. And so it focused on trauma-informed facilitation, educational neuroscience, brain-based practices. And yeah, as educators, we both understand that if you are in that field, typically these are people who are so used to giving and giving and giving so much of themselves and really have no idea how to set a little bit of time aside and offer that to themselves. So when we're talking about wellness in schools, we wanted to make sure we were not leaving out the educators and the adults in these environments who are giving so much of themselves to their students and also taking in so much of the trauma that their students are experiencing, you know, perhaps taking that home with them and not having the proper tools themselves to regulate and come back into groundedness and center. So that was the mission for that retreat that was unfortunately postponed because of COVID. But yeah, COVID, again, I mean, for everyone, we've all had to adjust and adapt and evolve. And so the online opportunities are still there. And yeah, just thinking about different ways that we can disseminate this type of development and information and share it with our communities.
Would you be interested in sharing now perhaps a brief grounding exercise? It can be like a meditation or visualization, maybe something you like to share with educators using for themselves or their classroom.
Sure. Absolutely. So I guess what's coming to mind initially is something that I discussed with my teens this morning in the Food Fellowship, and it's the concept of post-traumatic growth. Have you heard of it?
No, tell me more.
Okay. All right. So when we hear post-traumatic growth, maybe the first thing we think about is, oh, post-traumatic stress or post-traumatic stress disorder. So with post-traumatic stress, this is, the mind reliving trauma as if the person is experiencing that trauma in real time. And so the mind can find itself in a loop and be imprisoned by these challenges and traumas, traumatic events that have happened in life. And there is another side to that, and it's called post-traumatic growth. And so I will offer just a little meditation to introduce this concept of post-traumatic growth. So, if it's comfortable for you, perhaps close your eyes or lower your gaze and begin to tune out whatever may be happening around you, the sounds, the smells. And start to tune in to the world inside. Noticing the breath, perhaps beginning to deepen and elongate the inhales and the exhales. And as you begin to settle into your seat, gently begin to bring to mind an event or a person, a relationship, something that may have caused you stress or harm. Notice the feelings and sensations that arise when bringing this event to your mind. And know that beyond just the suffering of this particular incident, there is another side, an opportunity to witness your growth. Think about how this challenging event may have shifted your appreciation of life. Perhaps through this distress, you have been able to deepen your relationships with others. How might this event have inspired new possibilities in life? And through this, have you learned about your own personal strength? Finally, check in and ask if perhaps there has been a spiritual change and know that when we think about challenges, trauma, instead of falling into a loop of reliving this suffering, we can measure profound ways in which we have evolved, deepening our empathy for ourselves and for others who have and will surely continue to experience challenges throughout life. And take a deep breath in, filling up the belly, the chest, the heart space. Pause for a moment at the top of the inhale. And when you're ready, exhale and sigh out of your mouth.
That was beautiful. Thank you for guiding that.
Thank you.
I really liked just that thinking about challenges as growth opportunities. So I'm going to kind of follow that structure as we close out this interview. What would you say are some of the challenges you've experienced through your work as a teacher or a counselor in the yoga industry?
In the yoga industry? Well, I think for me personally, being a woman of color, being a Black woman, a lot of times I find myself as the only in these spaces. And that is something that I am working on, just trying to connect with other yoga teachers of color and be a model and representative for people of color who are interested in exploring yoga and have maybe felt like there wasn't a place for them. So one of the ways I'm doing that, I'm enrolled in a yoga teacher training called Communities Rising. And the facilitators are Nikki Myers and Rolf Gates, who obviously are both yoga legends. And I'm in a cohort of about 24 Black yoga teachers in training. It's a 200-hour training. And unfortunately, because of COVID, we were able to physically be together. And now the format has gone to virtual, but just having a space where you can look around and be in a room full of people of color, it's something that I had never experienced before this training. And it's affirming, and it's so difficult to find spaces like that. So I'm just grateful that Nikki and Rolf partnered with Charlie Redd, who is the owner of Haven Yoga Studio here in Indianapolis, Black-owned yoga studio, and are reaching out and recruiting people of color who have an interest in yoga and empowering them with the tools and resources to be able to share with their communities. So yeah, I think that is the next, I guess, focus for me, is to continue to weave in themes of yoga with social justice, and especially with the times that we are collectively experiencing. This is when we need the practice the most. So empowering other people of color to explore yoga, and if they feel called to, you know, take it back to their communities and share in the ways that resonate with them.
Yeah, definitely. Like, the yoga industry right now, I think more than it ever has, and it's long overdue, but is really having a reckoning with itself right now, as we kind of like look inward at the yoga industry. And like you said, it is kind of historically a very white space. Definitely having representation at leadership level and at teaching level is one way to bring more people of color into the space. If you could like snap your fingers and change one component of the industry that would make it more accessible, do you have one?
Wow. I would just say continue to give a platform to people. It's not like there aren't people out there doing the work. It's just a matter of giving people a platform and an opportunity to be seen. And so that would be my snap the fingers, is just put more people of color at the forefront and give people of color more seats at every table. And yeah, let their work be seen and celebrated collectively. And yeah, I think that is something, you're right, that the yoga, not just the yoga industry, but hopefully everybody is really examining at a deeper level. And if we are able to give more opportunities to more voices, then we all get to benefit from that.
So I would like to see more of that as well. You have a huge like track record of amazing projects and successes. I've gotten to see you do so many different things. Can you share some of the successes you've gotten to experience through doing your work?
Well, I mean, I guess for me, just, I don't know if there's really anything specific. I mean, any day I get to wake up and share yoga, especially with young people, I feel like it's a success. And so I just feel grateful that, you know, every day I get to wake up and I get to do something that I am passionate about, and I get to see, experience the fruits of that labor of love. So I'm just grateful that there are young people out there who are so interested in their own personal wellness and development. And even in these times of such intensity and uncertainty, I can still wake up and be hopeful and be joyful, because I get to be with the youth that I know are going to grow up and be the change.
I would love for our listeners to be able to find your work again. Do you have any website or social media that you'd like to direct listeners to if they wanted to find out more about you or your work?
Sure. Yeah. So the website that people can go to if they're interested in different projects and events for students and educators is theyogacounselor.com. And that's the same on Facebook and Instagram. And then my personal Instagram is Namaste Lade.
Love it. Amazing. Well, Lede, thank you so much again for being here and just sharing your expertise and your work. And I'm just very excited to get to continue witnessing it all. So thank you again for being here. Is there anything else you'd like to add as we close out?
Just want to say thank you for inviting me. This is the first podcast hey. I've ever done. So exciting. Congrats. Yeah. And yeah, thank you so much. And thank you for all of the work you're doing too, and for giving me an opportunity and a platform to share some of the things that are going on in my neck of the woods.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much. And I will talk to you soon.